Hello, my name is Brenda Hold. I am the Associate State Director of Community Outreach for the Arizona State Office of AARP. And while February is officially Black History Month, AARP began the celebration with the observance of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday on January 15th and continues the celebration through February 28th. AARP strives to develop a year-round appreciation of Black history, life, and culture by spotlighting some of the great innovations and contributions African Americans have made, such as what you'll see today. We are glad you could join us in order to keep the celebration and acknowledgments moving forward, and we would also like to thank Boom Goddess Radio for the opportunity to collaborate. We hope you enjoyed today's program. Be safe and be well.
Hello and welcome to Boom Goddess Radio. This is Jennifer Davis Page, your host, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing an amazing artist, Nick Ridley. Welcome, Nick, to Boom Goddess Radio, and thank you for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
I have always thought that artists of any discipline are very gifted. At what age did you get interested in art?
I would say organically. Well, you know, we always grew up singing songs, and just from a cultural context, we're always singing songs, whether it's hopscotch, whether it's, that's just kind of a part of it. We're singing, of course, being in the church and being immersed in the music and just the artistry, whether it was, you know, the oration from the pastor or whether it was the band getting down or those fabulous vocalists. I mean, you know, we're always immersed in art in some way. So I think that in truth, it happened organically, thank God. And then from there, I would write short stories like everyone, doodle here and there. I didn't do visual art until I turned 40, no, 38. I was in theater and poetry, so I write, and I was actually really heavily in spoken word, slam poetry, theater. I would travel around the country, so I was more in the performing arts, totally. And when I went to Purdue, I was a part of some performing arts ensembles with the Black Cultural Center under the tutelage of Mr. Antonio Zamora. And it was there, and being a part of those four ensembles, we had a theater troupe, a dance troupe, a poetry troupe, and another troupe. And we would come together for what was called a cultural art series sponsored by Purdue University and the Black Cultural Center. And as a freshman, I was also NAACP president. So I was doing those two together. And then from there, I fell in love with it. So it was really performing arts that when I got into it as a freshman in college. And then from there, I knew I wanted to do it professionally from there on out. Yeah.
So at Purdue, did you take classes in art? I mean, or is this a God's gift?
No, my was a management, business management. I went on a business scholarship.
Okay.
So I had a full ride as a business scholarship. And then, no, I was not the artsy guy. I actually got recruited for college basketball. I thought I was going to be a basketball player. So I was playing ball. I was not the artsy fartsy guy or whatever. And, you know, I got hurt my senior year. And then I could decide where I could go to a couple of D1 or some D2 schools. And I decided to go on an academic, you know, fate would have it. And then from there, it just kind of just found me. So, you know, Most High Jehovah just kind of laid the path for me. You never know what you're going to get into. Even right now, being in visual art, I never thought I would ever do that. I never drew. I never had any ambition, never thought about it. Never.
You would never think that that would be your story after looking at your works of art. You would never think that that would be your story. I recently saw a quote by Picasso, and it said that every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist once you grow up. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm hard-headed. So, first of all, my father integrated the fire department. He was the first Black fireman in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He integrated his schools. He was the 101st Airborne military man.
Oh.
So, you know, I had the experience and the blessing of being around individuals and having a strong father figure who had a certain type of mentality and mind frame. Basically, what you put your mind to, you can achieve. And along my artistic journey, I was told, man, you got to get a job. My mom was like, you must have a rich uncle. You know what I mean? And I was like, Mom, but I got to do it. And then up on her deathbed, may she rest in power, she said, you need to do art and you need to teach or you won't be happy. And I was like, wow. She was very corporate. So, you know, it was interesting. But yeah, everyone was saying, what are you doing? You know, I lost a lot. It was a lot of sacrifices that went along the way, but it was nothing else I could really do well. Or more importantly, everything I tried to do didn't work out well. It was just one of those things, you know? And, you know, it awakening that spirit, because I teach elementary school at South Point Elementary on the south side of Phoenix. So I teach K through five, Monday through Thursday. And so that inner artist, that inner child is very much a part of my teaching strategy and teaching technique, because we're all artists. We all have an art to what we do. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't necessarily say, I do have a sort of a Miles Davis mentality of, okay, now if you're going to call yourself an artist, there's certain things you have to be doing, okay? Mm-hmm. And to honor my craft, because we put too much into it. And, you know, as any artisan or tradesperson, you know, if I'm a carpet layer and I got a truck and I got tools and I show up and I got clients, then I'm a professional. If I know how to do flooring, but I may have a few things here and there, and when I get around to it, I do it, then it's more of a hobby. No judgment. But in order for me to honor my craft, which in turn means that I can also charge accordingly and be compensated accordingly, because mm-hmm. then the expectation is set there. This is the business major in me speaking now. Mm-hmm. And I have to honor those principles. If you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean. Are you teaching these lovely young children? Are you their art teacher?
Yes.
Okay. And do you see any of them that had the gift?
Oh, yeah. This is my beginning of my second year. It's a residency through Phoenix Center of the Arts. So I'm a resident there. And okay. I'm the youth director for Phoenix Center for the Arts Thunderbird campus. So, yes, I do see it. When we were there, by the fifth month, five of our young ladies entered an art contest out of over 200 different schools. And five of our young ladies got first place from our South Point Elementary.
That's wonderful.
Their principals were hollering in the other room. I went to office, like, what's going on? And they're like, you didn't hear? I'm like, what? They said, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. They won, we won, we won. And seeing one of the young ladies came to me afterward and said, you changed my life. And I said, what do you mean? She said, because I never thought I could do it. And just seeing, it's black, it's 98% black and Latino.
Your heart must have been full when she said that to you.
Oh my Lord, it made it all worth it. You know what I'm saying?
And these are kids under 11 years old, right?
Absolutely, K through five.
Oh, wow. Okay, yep. Yeah. Amazing, absolutely amazing. Are you influenced by any artist or art movement?
Absolutely. Amir Baraka was what I called a soft mentor. I met him, I met Cornel West, Manning Marable. My other major was African American Studies at Purdue. So I was able to study under a lot of Black feminist thought, bell hooks, Tracy Denise Sharpley Whiting, things of that nature. Dr. Margaret Burroughs was my mentor with the Disabled Museum in Chicago. Mrs. Sion, who is Dave Chappelle's mother, is a mentor of mine. Okay. So, you know, the Lord has brought me so many experiences, you know what I'm saying? Just being in the right place at the right time. But I would say more specifically, the Black Arts Movement, the Harlem Renaissance first, which I studied very heavily, the Black mm-hmm. Arts Movement. And then of course, as I would say now, Picasso, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Jean-Michel Basquiat, absolutely mm-hmm. in style and form. Mm-hmm. Romare Bearden with his collage work. Is totally a influence. Ernie Barnes, absolutely. I love his fluidity. One of my mentors was also Cleo Parker Robinson, the dancer out of Denver. So I was actually her assistant education director. So Philly Dance Co, Alvin Ailey, Urban Bush Women. You see what I'm saying? Just so all of that is in the stew, if you know what I mean, Jennifer.
Dr. Burroughs is a good friend of my husband. I lived in Chicago for a lot of years and my husband was part of the DuSable Museum, and he and Margaret were great friends for years and years and years. Are you familiar with the Afro-Cobra?
No, I don't. Funny story, though, about Dr. Burroughs. I met her at Weiser Park Youth Center in Indiana. My sister, Conjure Ridley, brought her in, and Kwaku Akon, who was the director. I walk into this auditorium because I was teaching the children some performing arts or something. I walk in the auditorium. She's there. I have no idea who she is. She has an entourage. She grabs me by my arm and says, "You're going to be my husband for this weekend." And she wouldn't let me go. You know, that's Dr. Burroughs. That's how we met.
Okay.
Wow. She's so beautiful. Such a beautiful soul.
She was just a wonderful, wonderful woman. Just, I was thrilled. I was thrilled when I met her, and the relationship that she had with my husband is, they were just buddies. They just had such a good time together. I noticed a repeat of the number 4 in your works of art. What does that symbolize?
When I made my first painting, it said, put it in there. And I just put it in there. As I looked it up further, it means balance. It means the number of angels, so on and so forth. That wasn't my process. It was not conscious whatsoever. And I think that's perfect segue. When I approach my art, I don't have a conscious theme in mind. Art is my opportunity to be free.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest freedom I could ever have here for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I just let whatever come through me. And then I know it will make itself apparent. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. Number 4 is just something that obviously by virtue of being there, I just have to put in there. As I went down the line, it seemed like the download was, it will be differentiating. It will give it a look to where they know it's mine without just my signature. And then for my children and for posterity and for the culture, then, you know, good Lord willing, if it's meant to be, that if I'm to be remembered for my art, that it could be something to say, oh yeah, that was one of us. Remember that cat that put 4 in? If they don't remember my name, they don't remember nothing else, because that'll pass away. But I may be the guy who had the number 4 in this work. So, and that's purpose and reason is making itself unfold as we go. Yeah.
As I said, your works of art are just really, really beautiful. Do you experiment in any other mediums?
Yes, I tried watercolor. Multimedia, absolutely. At this point, I keep it just pretty organic with just acrylic. Mm-hmm. I don't really deal with oil too much. You know, I guess multimedia be it. Of course, I incorporate I'll tear out sheets and put it a part of it, or cloth or tapestry, and in that vein. But I'm just really a fan of just the traditional feel of just something on canvas, paint on canvas. And it's just a fluidity to it that is so, it's like dancing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just allows me to dance and to almost like a feng shui tai chi type of movement thing. I know you understand what I'm saying, you know?
Yes, I do. Absolutely, I do.
Yeah, and I love that process of it.
What's your daily routine? I mean, I know you're teaching these young, gifted children, but what is your daily routine in terms of working on your art?
Mm-hmm. Really, the bulk of it is merchandising it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
For sure. You know, it's a business, and I treat it as mm-hmm. a business for sure. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is, you know, marketing, promoting via social media, getting the word out, ensuring mm-hmm. that things are there, and you know, following up on tracking numbers for clients that have things out there, mm-hmm. Fulfilling commissions, and the bulk of it is just maintaining relationships, honestly, just ensuring that I'm connecting with people, whether it's via online or whatever, just making sure I'm talking with the people in some way, shape, or form. How are you doing? Blessed Friday. I hope you're doing well. How are your kids doing? Because to me, this art, I'm not attached to the art. The art for me is a blessing. The art allows me, and it gives me an excuse or a reason to connect, and those to connect with me. So I put my art, in quote, in the proper context. And then I think that's what allows me to be free in creating. I don't have writer's block. I don't have blockages
mm-hmm.
because I'm not attached to it like that. I love it, don't get me wrong, but A, it's not mine. It's a gift for me to give. And I know that, and I honor that, and I have no problem with that whatsoever, because my blessing is I get to experience life and do what I love to do. And not many people can say, especially people of color, that can say they can do that. So, you know, I honor the fact that I have the opportunity to live the life I want to live. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Do you show in galleries, or do you just merchandise your works of art on your website?
Yes, show in galleries as well as merchandise. I actually have an exhibit that's online with the Miller House this week. So it's a part, for this week. And then I have some pieces in, what's the name of that bookstore? Brother Ali's bookstore, Grassroots Bookstore here in Phoenix. I have two pieces up there that are 4 feet by 4 feet. And of course I ship things out around the country. So yes, I do it all. Of course, with COVID, things are more virtual and not as in person, and as well as live art. Last year I was doing a lot of live painting at various venues, and then, you know, either auctioning them off or what have you. So yeah, the portfolio is pretty diverse.
Nick, we're going to take a brief break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Song again. Yay. Here's that song again.
For the 100th time today,
here's that song again.
It's gonna be stuck in your head all day.
Yay. Here's that song again. It will make you cray cray.
You love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times. Yay. Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Boom Goddess Radio. This is Jennifer Davis Page, and I'm in the studio today with, what can I tell you, an amazing artist, Nick Ridley. And again, Nick, thank you so much for sharing your stories with our listeners today. Have you done, before COVID hit the world, did you do a lot of traveling and go into a lot of museums and art galleries around the world?
Not around the world. No, like I said, my trajectory was that I was not into visual art at all. I mean, I went to like museums because I love to go to museums, but not in the context of seeing artwork. That was never my thing, ironically. So, and I think the traveling part would be coming to Arizona. I was in Denver for 20 years. This will be my fourth year here, March 24th. And I actually lived in Tucson until I was 4 years old. I have an uncle who's an ex-sheriff there, Collier Hill.
Okay.
So prior to moving to Indiana, my mother married my father. So it was almost like a homecoming coming back here. And as soon as I got off the boat, if you will, I was like, I'm back home. I just knew it. And then the world opened up professionally, personally, everything. It was just like everything just opened up for me. The support had been phenomenal. And I made a big jump coming here. Because I was, like I was saying, in Denver, I was in the performing arts. I had music and feature films. I was in bands. I was like writing musicals, all kind of stuff. And then I came, like I said, and I came here and did visual art prior to coming to Arizona. But coming here would be one of those journeys. So it went from Fort Wayne to Gary to Denver for 20 years, then here to Arizona. And I think, you know, throughout that whole thing within the last, 26 years, you know, I think that whole journey, I was the troubadour, my mom would say. Okay, you know, I was that guy who went out, the nomad, the gypsy, as she would call us, you know, is picking up and finding myself along the way, doing the craft and doing art. I went to Denver actually to start a performing arts school. So my father got me a lawyer and accountant incorporated as a nonprofit. And my dream, my ultimate goal is to have a performing arts school. That's what I want to do. That's like what this is totally, totally for. For alternative youth, whether that's autistic youth, youth of color, youth on the spectrum, youth that may have with different orientation, just those that right now may be having a trouble in fitting in because I was that guy. And that is the end goal for me, is to have fame. Remember, I want to live forever, fame. That was my dream since I was a kid. So
performing arts, did you put that on the back burner for now, or is it still kind of simmering?
I wrote a one-man play last year, and actually it's a different energy and it takes a different energy. It is, it can be very exhausting. And at this point, that's why painting for me is so cerebral and meditative. that I'll always write and do things of that nature. And if called, and if the spirit moves me, then absolutely I will answer that call. So we'll see. We'll see.
Now, Nick, your website, I'm gonna spell it out for our listeners. It's art, A-R-T, by B-Y, Nick, N-I-K, R-I-D-L-E-Y.com. Nick, by, art by NickRidley.com. And your Instagram is the same. Is that correct?
Correct.
So now when visitors come to your website, I mean, it's really beautiful. I spent a lot of time on it yesterday, and you've got such beautiful pieces. Let me just ask you, for curiosity's sake, how do you ship? Are your pieces, are they all framed, or can they pay for framing? How does that, tell our listeners how that works?
Oh, excellent question. Yes, I do offer, I very rarely sell my originals anymore. So what I do sell, because the price point is just too high, I sell prints, I sell canvas prints, like you see in Walmart or, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And I also sell frame prints that are matted and framed.
All right.
So I have three different options on my website for all of, I think I have about 20 assets or so. I will be uploading 10 more this week. So, but yes, I do offer three different options. Some of those are just framed prints. Some of those are canvas, but everything is negotiable. If you send me a line and say, hey, Nick, do you have this and so, I'll find a way to get it to you. It's not a problem. I use local vendors. Everything that I use is made in the USA, no judgment, but I ensure that whether it's my hoodies, because I do also have apparel, t-shirts, sweatshirts, mm-hmm. things of that nature, I source within the United States and try to source as much AZ local as possible, as long as the price point is okay.
Excellent.
And if they have what I need, I'm a real stickler about that. So, you know, just as a caveat, but yes, I do offer different options, and you can get whatever you see in something. I can get you something in some way.
Do you have international customers as well?
Not too many. Those that are international are here and transplants, and they buy things. But no, I'm not shipping things to Tokyo or Brazil or what have you as of yet.
But you will, right?
Well, absolutely. Well, I hope so.
Because yeah. You see, Boom Goddess Radio is heard all over the world. And I have ladies listening to me in South America, in Japan, in Australia. Yeah. So that's why I wanted to know whether or not you will ship. I know yeah. that your customer will pay for shipping, but you will ship internationally if you have a customer that wants to buy something, right?
Absolutely. It would be an honor to. Absolutely.
Where do you want to, you know, this is one of those interview questions, but where do you think your business, your art will be in the next five, 10 years? Where do you want it to be that it isn't there now? What do you see in the future?
5-year plan is to definitely be more rooted, as you said, internationally. So it's interesting you said that. 10-year plan, I definitely want to be in MoMA within 10 years. Mm-hmm. I want to be in MoMA. I want to be in the Louvre. Mm-hmm. I want to be next to the Masters. Mm-hmm. As a current living artist, not posthumously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my prayer to the Most High is that I want to get it while I'm living so I can give it. I'm not talking about money.
Mm-hmm.
That's there. That's going to happen. That's easy. But I mean, in terms of respectability, and to be a credit to our culture, to the name in which I carry, and to have my work next to the Masters and be seen as one who approached it and it resonated with the public in the same way that the Masters did. That is my prayer, and that is my goal.
I lived in New York for 25 years, and being married to an artist, I've seen it all, and just walking through, it's such a pleasure to be able to walk through these beautiful art museums and see the works of art by some of the most amazing artists in the world. I mean, it's just, I miss that. I'm down here in the desert now, but there's lots of things I miss about New York, but that is one of the things that I really, really do miss. And there's some interesting galleries down in Arizona and in Southern Arizona. So not like MoMA, but interesting nonetheless. Do you have shows, or do you consider shows in private galleries where your work will stay up for like a month or 5 weeks or something like that?
Absolutely. You know, if the relationship is there for sure and it's reputable, then yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not talking about necessarily the scale, but you know, or if it's a friend, like if Jennifer said, you know what, I have a friend here, they have an awesome space, would you be willing mm-hmm. to do it for you? Absolutely, I do that.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so that type of thing. And it's weird because the Chelsea Arts District is who expressed the most interest in my work in New York, like Agora and things of that nature, a couple of years, 3 years ago, actually, almost when I first moved here. And, you know, then COVID and blah, blah, blah afterward and all that good stuff.
Sure.
And get settled in here. But yes, I mean, like I said, I'm not attached to my art like that. So, I mean, wherever it can go, absolutely. I mean, it's for you. I'll make more. I mean, I make around, when you say my usually die low, if I am in the, okay, I'm going to make some art mode this week, I'll pump out 8 pieces in a week, no problem.
All right, my question that I'd like to ask you is, let's just say you've got 4 people that you're going to invite to an opening of some of your artwork at a beautiful gallery. You've got 4 people, living or dead, past or present, that you'd like to invite. Who would they be?
Picasso, Jean-Michel Basquiat, Georgia O'Keeffe, and Zora Neale Hurston.
All right. I've had the pleasure of going to Georgia's museum in New Mexico. It was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. I am so grateful to have you as a guest on Boom Goddess Radio. I am, to all of my listeners, I'd like to repeat Nick's website again. It's Art, ArtBynik, Ridley, RIDLEY.com. Please go to his website and take a look around it. And do you have any fun? I've got about 30 seconds. Do you have any final words that you'd like to send out to our listeners about you and your works of art?
Well, first and foremost, thank you, Jennifer, for calling me and having me a part of this. Thank you, Kaja. Thank you, everyone on the team. I really appreciate the opportunity. You didn't have to do it, so I take it as a gift. And I honor that. And I would just say support. I love support. Just support. Help me on this journey so that we can show the world how beautiful we are, how dynamic and diverse we are, and give me the opportunity for what was given to me and the time and effort and energy from my people and everyone surrounding me and getting me here to give back to you. And just support. Check out something. Get some artwork. Please spread the word. Let people know this guy is attempting to beautify the space that we call this earth. And what more could I really ask? And be good to yourself.
And be good to each other. We thank you for joining us at Boom Goddess Radio. And we appreciate the time that you take to sit and listen to our amazing guests. Nick, thank you so very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jennifer.